our desire to draw your attention to the words you will find in the 104th Psalm, verses 15 and 16. The 15th and 16th verses of the 104th Psalm. "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the seed of Lebanon, which he hath planted." You will remember that we ventured upon these words by way of the text this morning. Just a few words here to try and gather up the threads a little. We mentioned concerning this psalm how that the psalmist was led to see God's wonderful works in creation. How the wonders he had done in all things concerning how the world as we know it and behold it, and all those things he had made, and all those things that were at his command. But we did say there were in the Psalms are those things which are made applicable to the soul if the Holy Spirit leads us into those things that coach beneath the world. Therefore one felt and does feel that these particular verses here we have read by way of the text are those things that are made applicable unto the living soul. And that this wine we mentioned this morning was that wine, the precious wine of the gospel, that Christ came here on this earth to declare and also to witness it with his own blood. And that when a sinner is favored to partake and have the knowledge of the gospel made known in their souls, then it is like wine which gladdens their heart. Many other things we said, but that as a part of those things we mentioned concerning the wine of the gospel. And we did mention that this wine must be put into new bottles, that is to say, into the new man of grace, else if it was put into the old man of sin, it would leak out and both would be destroyed. But having God caused it to go into the new man of grace, it both are preserved and will be preserved through time and in eternity. A wonderful thing if you and I are in possession of the new wine of the kingdom, of the new wine of the gospel, so that we might be preserved. And then we mentioned the with regards to the oil of his grace, that grace which is extended unto the vilest of sinners and made known unto them by the power of the Spirit, or how definite it is that these things are not known and by fleshly minds, or by any amount of study, unless, I say unless, the Holy Spirit shine upon the Word and open it up, it'll be but little, the letter of truth only. The liver killeth, 'tis the Spirit that maketh alive. And when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, shines upon the sacred Word, then we see in a different light to what we once did, and see those things which God hath made known unto man through the Word by the revealing of the Spirit, and seal it by the blood of the Savior in our hearts, so that the Trinity, the Blessed Trinity, are all consumed in this matter. Well, in the wine of the gospel and the oil of grace, and then we were speaking before the close of the service a little concerning the bread which strengtheneth the heart of man. We were speaking then of this bread as being the bread of life. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is the bread of life. We know it's known to be so little, isn't it? It's often been said that bread is the start of life. You see, we could live on bread and water only. Water for the thirst, that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? I say water for the thirst, we could not live without water, and we could not live really and speaking without bread. You see, bread is vital for the human frame, and so it is with so vital with the living soul. It is the life of the soul, that bread that came down from heaven. Oh, how they took it to task. Those religious folk of the day, the Pharisees, oh, they said, we are Abraham's seed. And also, they said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then, how, they said, but our father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Oh, how they took our dear Savior to task, not knowing his mighty power, not knowing that he knew their craft and their deceit. And so how he said, I am that living bread. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And so it was that he showed them that, or told them the truth, and they could not receive it. And he told them why. He says, ye are your father the devil, and his works he will do. Oh, my friends, our dear Savior's penetrating arm can pierce into the inmost recesses of every human heart. He knows whether we are genuine, or whether we are alienated from him. So it's no use to try to think if we deceive others. And we are self-deceived, we cannot deceive him who penetrates right into the inmost recesses of our hearts. We are here before him who, when here on earth, knew the hearts of all men. And it was only he that had the just right to say, ye are your father the devil. He could only judge rightly. It doesn't give us license to use such words to others. But, you see, he knew their hearts. So that they could not receive him as that bread of life. But we hope that we have that earnest desire in our hearts are not only to see him as the bread of life, but to partake. That's so vital, to partake. I believe I mentioned this morning, he said, ye eat my flesh and drink my blood. Ye have no life in you. Our dear Savior, thus solemn truth he declared when he was on earth. And like many others of his declarations that men could not receive, but you'll find, my friends, if you're rightly led, you'll receive it, though it may make you tremble. You'll receive it in the love of it, knowing it came from the lips of him that could not lie, knowing it came from the lips who spake never as man spake, that is with authority, being Almighty God as well as man. So then, he has given us a crumb at any time of that living bread which came down from heaven himself. It will strengthen us. There's nothing strengthened like a taste of his love and mercy to us. That is what it means, partaking of it. If we have partaken of his love, his mercy and his grace, they are strengthening at times with us. You know, some of us have been sometimes in those places weary and warm and ready to faint. We've been in those places where we feared that we should never once more have a revival. And we seem to be, like one said, it's all winter time with me. I seem to be withered up and seem to have nothing really vital in my soul. Well, it is the very thing that will weaken the soul, weaken the sinner. But remember this, that it will never cause him to wither away. He may feel withered, but like one says, withered, if he be withered, is severed from the vine. But you know, I believe God's people are coming to these places to cause them to renew their requests with more vehement faith. It'll make you pray. You come into a place a place of weakness and feel ready to faint and feel ready perhaps to give up all. Well, when you come into these places, what you need again and again and again is another taste of the living bread. And when he comes, as I've still already said, it'll strengthen you. And for a time, you'll be able to go on your way rejoicing. You'll be able to walk in the thorny road. You'll be able to look at your pathway and be able to say, from the heart, ye have done all things well. Ye have done according unto his wisdom. You'll be able to say, I was brought low, but he has lifted me up. I was cast down, but he put forth his arm and delivered me. And many other experiences too, you may feel. It may be that you'll be weakened through the fear of death. That often a time when a child of God fears death, the wicked don't fear it. I mean in the way that you and I fear it. You see, they may, when it comes near to death, have some kind of fears, and they may be at that bed repentance, as it's called. They may cry it unto God, but you know, my friends, we're not judges here. There is an 11th day, 11th hour, I know. But you see, it's by the fruit. And God will judge a righteous judgment in all things. But nevertheless, I believe there'd be many a struggle in the outer marshal of death for the fear of hell. But nevertheless, but with God's people, he makes a way, you see, through the shade of death. And there it is there, I believe, he gives them that strength, even there, as they go through the stormy sea. Yes. Oh, I have thought, you've heard me say it here, I know before, but I've often thought how he's with these people this side of the river. He's with them in the midst of the street of it. And we know if he's with them here and with them in the midst of the street of it, he'll be on the other side of the river. You know, as sometimes when dear Bunyan speaks of it, when they pass through the river, they may be fearful, but you know there was that companion, that precious and blessed good hope through grace. We said, cheer up, brother, I feel the bottom. And wine and maketh blood glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread that strengtheneth the heart of man, or man's heart. And so it will be these things that are made known to us will strengthen us. They'll strengthen us through life's journey. And the few remaining days in the wilderness, for with the youngest here, they've got a few days. You know, you've been seeing of it tonight, haven't you? Concerning time, what an empty vapor it is, and days how swift they are, far hastening us, aren't they, to a never-ending eternity. Oh, may God help us to spend the few years we have allotted unto us yet, each one of us here, to serve him as we are enabled, more and more. For my friends, what are the things of this life compared with the beauty and the greatness of the majesty of heaven? Why, you see, that is that pearl of great price, more precious than all things else, more precious than our daily food, more precious than all our possessions. For you see, the day will come when we hope to see him as he is. As I said only on Friday evening at the closing of the service where I was, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. And bread then would strengthen the heart of man. This bread strengthens the heart of man. I saw that these visits, when he comes and blesses the soul, enables us to go forward. And though we may have yet many a trial, many a difficulty, it will only be in and through his strengthening we should be able to stand. Well then, the next verse, 16th verse, says, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. These are those trees, are his own right hand. Clinton. He those are planted by the rivers of waters, that precious water which proceeds from the river of his love. They are planted by these streams of the rivers of water, and it is by these streams and the word of his love that flows from the river that proceeds from beneath the throne of God in the land. All that love, the boundless, unmeasurable love, that my tongue has never yet been able to set it forth, and never will. We shall never enter into the depths of it till we enter into it above. But that love, which is known a little of here on earth, it is those trees of life that are my living trees in a living Christ, and that are rooted in him, and therefore being rooted in him, they are full of sap. They derive and receive all their life from him, and therefore they take root downward into Christ, and then they are secure in him. These trees too are those which by the grace of God that are in Christ, they are those trees that bear fruit. Yes, bear fruit. It's not like a fig tree which our dear Savior, when he came, and that found no fruit thereof, he just cut it down. In this case, I think I've got it just wrong there. There's another time he said cut it down, why cumber it to the ground. About this particular case, it was that he said, be no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. You know, his disciples passed by within the next day, and they said, behold, that fig tree, it was withered. So that, and you know, he said, every tree that bringeth not fruit, his Father taketh away. But the fruits, the trees that are planted in him and abide in him, bear fruit. So he said in the word that he had ordained them that they might go and bear much fruit. Well, these fruits are those fruits too that you heard me say that will remain. I live to prove that the cankered fruits of the flesh are those that do not remain. They cannot remain, for if they remain through time, they'll perish in hell. I say they remain in time, they'll perish in hell. If we're not delivered, if for those who are not delivered from it, but are the fruits of the Spirit, and those fruits that emanate from his grace in the soul, are those that shall remain. When he said here on earth that your fruit should remain, so that is that fruit that is brought forth by the trees of the Lord that are full of sap that is derived from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they are planted by the rivers of water that proceed from the love of God. body called the soul, and this will be for love in our hearts unto him, a precious fruit indeed, if we have that love in our hearts toward God. And that when that love is in exercise, and really felt and known, it will be above all other loves. We cannot describe, can we, to another, even the that sense of love we have one for another, whatever and whoever it may be. That can't be described. It's got to be felt, isn't it? But how much greater this love of God in the soul. We can't explain it, we can't fathom it, but we know we have it, because there's times when we say, around thy all supporting stem, my feeble arms are twined. You feel, do you not, when these fruits are made known, that you love him beyond all other, and there are times when you do love him beyond all other. He is most precious and exceedingly precious to the soul. The trees of the Lord that are full of sap, the seed of the Lebanon. It seems to my mind to confirm or to convey, rather, that, you know, the cedars of Lebanon were and are wonderful trees to be admired. And you know how it was that the house of God, there was the cedars, the cedar wood that was to be used in the house of God, that he gave orders unto one to build. In the old dispensation. Well, I see it in my mind here, though I don't want to wrongly divide the word, but it's that these trees of the Lord are like the cedars of Lebanon in the sight of God, and that he beholds them as such, and that they are divine. Not only as he sees them in Christ. Oh, I believe that the Father beholds all the trees that are in Christ as being like the cedars of Lebanon. That they are beautiful to behold, as they are pure and holy and undefiled in Christ. Holy men, and only they walk in this blessed way of love. We shall never find holiness in ourselves. But you know, there are, as the poet says also, good men there are, but be known that goodness proceeds from God alone. And so it is, my friend. When I've heard it said sometimes, good Mr. Someone and good Mr. Someone else, well, their goodness is in Christ, if they have any goodness. We shall have to look beyond the old nature. I don't speak that wrongly, God forbid, but I'll have to look far beyond my old wretched nature to find any goodness. There ain't one shred of it in myself. Not a bit. I said that in that new nature, and that is that one, that new man that stands complete in Christ, who are these trees, and God, the Father, looks upon them as such, as they stand in Christ. And he says here, which he hath planted, while God the Father planted these trees. They were planted in the time before all eternity, planted in the garden, which God from time to time visits the ear below. And so it is that he comes into the garden where he has planted them. As we read in the psalm, he comes into his garden, and there he beholds those trees of his own vineyard planting. And there, you know, he too is seen in that garden, and is described as the apple tree among the trees, so in my beloved, the apple tree among the wood, so is my beloved among the trees. So that he is as that apple tree you see among them in the wood, that is so blessedly seen by the eye of faith, as he, those precious fruits that he produced when on the cross, salvation, forgiveness, and love, and deliverance, all embodied in a precious Christ, so that he comes then into his garden, and there too he says, come thou north wind, and blow thou south upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. And so there are times when the north wind blows, chilly wind, isn't it? Boisterous wind often, and it looks as though it might, in the winter time, what we say, scorch up everything. Our barren, everything appears. Sooner do you know what the north wind is, when he comes down into his garden and causes the north wind to blow, in your own experiences. But you know, he said, come down north wind and blow thou south. So there is the genial soft wind that he comes and blows upon these trees that he has planted. And then when that is so, there will be soft showers, and we will come down with showers of blessing and water these trees with the watering of his showers of blessing. And he will, they shall feel the sweetness and the blessedness of it, and the refreshing of it, so that they are watered, and then there will be those precious spices that flow forth out of their heart, adoration and love unto him. Oh, does this not remind us, even at the birth of Christ, how those wise men came with their presents, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and so you, sinner, will come unto him with these sweet spices that flow forth out of your heart. You'll break forth into singing, you'll break forth into joy, you'll go forth in the dances of them that make merry in your heart. These are the things that make merry in the heart of man. Peace, joy, love, and all those things that emanate by the work of the Spirit from the love of God shed abroad in the heart. The trees of the Lord then are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. So then, it's the mercy of any of us here, in any humble measure, I may have some hope, as we know something of the power. Try and always remember this. Never measure your experience with another. For God doesn't lead all into the same depths. but it leaves some in deeper and some not so deep. But it must be genuine. It must be real. Therefore, I often feel when I'm declaring these things that I might be left. Well, I don't know if that's quite the right word, left. If I might go over the heads of my hearers, they say, well, I can't quite enter into that. And yet, I desire that if there be any here that cannot enter into it as you would desire, pray for it. Ask the Lord to lead you, teach you, guide you, and to give you some evidence, sense that you are among these trees. And when he gives you the evidence, may you thank him for it, for they are choice. God's people are choice. The excellences of the earth, the world don't think it's own. They consider us to be the offscouring of all things, cast outs. What a favor. I say, what a favor. Gather the outcasts of Israel, says God. Oh, what a mercy to be one of the outcasts to be gathered. To know something of these real and blessed things that God hath recorded in his word, and give us a little light upon them to encourage us to go forth day by day into any fresh battle that might be in our power. He said to Moses, you know, I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. And he will. He has me. He will you. Whatever trial that you might have to pass through. You know what brought this forth from the mouth of God and in Moses. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. And various other things too. And then our God said that to him, I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way he goes before. Yes. Whatever trials in your pathway, sinner, I know I shall be the same as yourselves. If I come into any fresh trial or difficulty, I shall no doubt sink low. But nevertheless, it does not the God would. Whatever trials in the future, he has said, I'll make all my goodness pass before, as the word, before thee in the way he goes before. He makes preparation for every trial in us. Yes. He makes every preparation and has made it already for you and I. And he'll make all his goodness pass before us when we come to our end. For he has a kingdom which he has gone to prepare. In my Father's house is many mansions. If what I so I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, to where I am, ye may be also. Let not your heart be troubled, he began that chapter. He believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, what a mercy it is. If he has fallen on our behalf, God prepare a place for us. And Lord, I always like to think of this one thing. If he's God prepare a place for us, he will not come to that place is ready for us. I believe a heavenly building is being built, if I may say that rightly. That is, to explain myself, one here, another gathered from among men, and presently the final one will be gathered, my friend, then the shout will be grace, grace unto it. Oh, what a mercy to be among the throng, is the shout of crying out unto that topmost stone. Grace, grace be unto it. Well, he's worthy of all praise, honor and glory. I wish we could praise him more here tonight. I wish I often felt that much of late. I wish I could thank him more for all his mercies and his goodness that he has bestowed upon us. But nevertheless, the one consolation we have, that he looketh at the heart. When we poor creatures feel the lack, those praises and thankfulness in our heart, he looks at the heart. I've often thought when we ask a blessing upon our food, I've often had a more thankful heart when I haven't said a word. I've had to shed tears sometimes over my meals. That's not seen for others, but a silent one, you know. Sometimes wiped it away before anybody did see it. God saw it. That's thankfulness for our daily food, my friends. Oh, don't misunderstand me here. It's quite right to do these things at all times, but I believe there's those of you who understand, and I hope all. When it comes and it's yours personal, and you feel thankful for those things you've given, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, and a covering for our head, thought so much about our dear Savior. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man above where to lay his head. Oh, what a virtue to be a companion sometimes in heartfelt union unto him. Though he's given us more we deserve, but to feel it and to know it, and to look upon these things of mine. Well, my friends, I must give over.